Sports Podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live from Cincinnati, Ohio, with my co-host from Los Angeles, California, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. A little extra early Dirty Sports.
Yeah, man.
Some folks getting up just making their coffees. They just got the YouTube alert. Probably scrambling like I was just to get here this morning.
What's your sleep schedule these days? Because mine is whack. What about yours?
Pretty standard. Yeah. I don't know. I go to bed probably just into the morning, you know, 12:30, 1. And I usually get up depending on the day. I would say my wake up range is 7 to 9.
You're not a napper.
Not really. I mean, I can nap, but usually I nap if it's like, if I've gotten up super early to do something, if I get up super early to surf and then, you know, midday comes, I'll zonk out for a little, but like, I don't get in bed to nap.
Yeah. I don't recommend that, by the way. The bed nap. I recommend the floor nap or the couch nap. That way you get a crisp 15 to 30 minute just deep nap. Yeah. I was in a deep nap the other day. I woke up. I had a call from my old apartment building, Joe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's like, well, some important documents have been sent here. It says IRS on it. I said, well, I have everything forwarded. So she goes, what do you want me to do with that? Basically saying, I'm not going to send it to you because I don't want to pay for it.
Right.
I don't know. Throw it away.
Yeah.
Give it to a homeless guy.
Next time there's a homeless tent fire, can you just throw it in there?
By the way, I looked because I was in that tweet exchange. I looked at that this morning when I was taking my morning dump. And then I read that one guy's article. Holy cow, Venice.
Yeah.
Did you read the article that he wrote?
Yeah. But he's also the world. Like, that's a guy that we went back and forth with because he's like, and no, by the way,
No, not him. Another guy tagged in that.
Okay.
Another guy tagged in that basically was like, the homelessness is up, and I don't know how they gauge this. The homelessness is up in Venice in the last like 6 weeks, like 45%.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts.
It's just like fire after fire after fire.
And the boardwalk is just now without like the outdoor shopping. You know, even like you can't do the selling the goods on the boardwalk or whatever. So the boardwalk is now just there's basically new oceanfront walk. There's Tent City just on the walk. But
yeah,
I haven't been there in a while, but I've seen pictures.
You've heard things.
I've seen the smoke.
I shouldn't laugh. It's sad. It really is sad. Like it was kind of headed in a bad trajectory, but I feel now. I did get a text from the mayor, I don't know, the last month. I asked him. He said, oh, it's basically the same. And I want to be like, dude, I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to be that guy who's not there anymore, but I see things. I don't know if it's basically the same, but whatever. Not your problem. Not my problem.
Not gonna live here anymore. That's for sure.
Kind of a shitty way to look at things, but you know.
Yeah.
I got my own problems. We've lost 4 straight basketball games for the third grade boys team, so I got my own problems.
Is it a scoring issue? Is it a defense issue? What's the problem?
I think it starts with listening, Joe, and effort.
But are you guys having trouble scoring points?
No, not necessarily. But when you fall behind like Saturday, 14-3, first of all, 14 in a first quarter is like, I don't know what the equivalent would be for the NBA, but 14 right. For a third grade is like a team scoring 40 in the first quarter.
So more defensive problems than anything else.
Well, also we play two teams that could actually, a kid hit a three pointer that had never happened. Like we're playing teams that can actually, we tell them when you preach and practice, guys, just cover the paint, anything else. And then when kids are hitting jump shots, they look at us like, okay, coaches, you tell us, don't worry about jump shots. Then we look like assholes.
Yeah.
But yeah, listening and effort and attitude. I don't know. I mean,
I hate to say it, but listening, attitude, and effort sounds like this is entirely on the coaching staff.
Well, I told my buddy that. I said, we need to change coaching 100%. And we did. Saturday, even though we lost, we came back. We played good. Friday night, 100%. Just these kids get down and they scoreboard watch. And I said, guys, who cares?
Is there... Have you thought about reaching out to the Greg Popovich of youth basketball coaches and Chris Wilde and getting and trying to get some strategy tips, some, you know, locker room talk advice?
Maybe I should.
He's got a mini dynasty going on over there with the killer whales. Now, is part of his secret that he brings in me to teach the fundamentals? Sure, but he's had a lot of great seasons where I only just barely showed up, so I would reach out to Chris Wilde, you know?
I'll text him. We'll figure it out. I think my buddy and I have different approaches at times. I'm more of a let him play.
Yeah.
Too. Right? I think at that age you get the parents yelling from the bench. You get the coach. It's like, dude, we've taught them the plays. We've taught them the execution or how it should execute. Just let them play at certain times. But what are you going to do, man? Third grade. So, I don't know, but I was happy that we had a couple fun NFL playoff games. And before we jump into things,
speaking of let them play,
yeah, right. They let them play in both games for the most part. They actually weren't called that many penalties.
Yeah, exactly. For the most part.
All right, let it out, Joe. You let it out because we're gonna have some disagreements today. And I'm ready for it. I'm here for it.
I have nothing. I think the Packers Bucks game, there was a point where they hadn't called a penalty.
Yeah.
We were into the what? The third quarter or into the deep second quarter where they didn't call a penalty. And I really don't have any complaints about the game at all. I just think, you know, when you talk about, I don't think the reffing necessarily was cost anybody the game. It's just I hate inconsistency. That's for sure. I mean, that game in the end comes down to, you know, it's a 5-point one possession game. A no call at the end of the first half was probably the biggest call of the entire game. A no call on a blatant pass interference turns into 7 points for the Bucks when everybody in the world was saying, if the Packers score here, you know, there, you have the turnaround potential of them getting the ball to start the second half. And blatant PI that isn't called turns into 7 for the Bucks. Probably the biggest play in the game. And whether you like it or not, that is a ref call. And then, you know, double down on that, that a pass interference of a very similar type occurs literally on the exact spot on the field if you flip it. Which means I'm assuming the same ref, the same everything, like basically the same thing in place, a guy going across the middle on the mirror side of the field is the call that essentially ends the game. Tough coin flip for the Packers. Certainly lucky coin flip for the Bucks. Both calls go one way, it could be a different game. Both calls go the other way, it could be a different game. One call goes against one team, and then for the other team, it's tough. I mean, again, it's just about consistency and the fact that we're not saying a missed hold here and a missed, you know, block in the back there, or a missed offsides here and a missed. It's the exact same play on both sides of the field. One gets a call for the Bucks, basically both for the Bucks, and it's 5-point loss. Now, there's a lot to unpack with both these teams, both these quarterbacks, both these whatever, but that's, you know, when you say let them play, then let them play.
Well, look, I think obviously there were some inconsistencies, but I also think here's how I want to say, stepping back for a minute, just in general with refs and penalties with NFL. We've seen some bad missed calls, or we've seen some inconsistencies, especially a couple years ago, Saints-Rams. But at the end of the day...
Well, let's all agree, Saints-Rams is on this whole other fucking level.
No, I agree. I don't put it on that level, but I'm just citing that is, at the end of the day, you have to make plays. Refs are going to make shit calls. I think we have to learn to accept that. They are going to make calls that are going to affect the games, but you have to make plays. So if... I don't mind anybody saying, hey, you missed a pass interference, because they did. We all saw it. They got an interception. You also can't give up a bomb at the end of the half.
Totally.
Do you see what I'm saying? So it doesn't justify it, but also you have to make the plays when you have to make the plays. That's all I'm saying. It's kind of like in the Saints game where it was a bullshit call, but the Saints also got the ball to start overtime. And remember, Drew Brees threw an interception. So it's like...
The flip side of that, and we can, like I said, we can unpack the Matt LaFleur, you know, no fourth down call and Aaron Rodgers not running the ball on the third down and all that. We can do that. But the same thing is, you could argue on the flip side, the Packers make the play to get it to, you know, they give them the ball back with 2 minutes remaining. Reckless decision, in my opinion. And they give up a play on first down. They smartly go off sides, give them the first down, and then they hold them. They make the plays on the first and second. They put them in third and long. They make a play on third down and they get an interference call. So like, absolutely, it was a pass interference. But again, it is a difference of basically. And the other thing is, on that play, maybe they don't score if they get the ball back. So that's fine.
Yeah.
But again, the end of the first half, a Bucs guy makes a play by committing a penalty. It's just, you know, if you consistently call it, you gotta feel bad when it goes both in the favor of one team. A no call and a pass interference call both go the same way.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to disagree with inconsistencies, but I also think that there's just so many factors. And you're not doing this, but I know a lot of people will. I don't want to pin a loss on the refs. I'm just not going to do that. I will never do that unless it's just an egregious call.
The Rams-Saints game.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really bad call or missed call. I'm not going to do that for this game. And, you know, obviously we're going to break down, like you said, everything. The LaFleur field goal, I don't know if this is an overreaction where – half a day later, I honestly think, given the circumstances of the situation to go to the Super Bowl, I think that is one of the worst calls I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, I mean, now we're talking about consistency. We're talking about have a consistent attitude as a head coach. Are you playing for the win, or are you playing strategy? Because... you played for the win when you went for two earlier in the game. And then the flip side is, if you score here, you're going to have to get a 2-point conversion, right? So you've put yourself in that position by not kicking earlier. So now, by putting yourself in the we're going to go for it position, and whatever, if we don't get it, we'll just go for it again. You've now put yourself in a spot where you need a touchdown and you need a 2-point conversion. And then you decide to kick it instead of going for it and getting a 2-point conversion. I understand if it was a 7-point game there, that people like that the chances of LaFleur going for it are much greater. If it's a 6-point game there, they're infinitely greater. But you have put yourself in this position by being aggressive. And now you're going to play, well, we're not going to be aggressive. So it's kind of the same issue. It's like, pick a fucking lane, dude. Honestly, the idea that at the point where you go for two earlier in the game down, try to put it to 11, you knew that there was going to be more scoring in this game. Everybody alive knew that there was going to be more scoring. The idea that it was going to come down to then you get a two here, and then you get a touchdown and get a 2-point conversion and the game's over, like,
No, they were trying to get down to three is what they were trying to do.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying the point is making it into like this regular, a three, a seven, or whatever, instead of eights and 11s and whatever. So the idea that you do that at that point, well, now you're Mr. Go fucking go for it guy.
Well, obviously it sucked for them because it was a drop pass. It was a blatantly drop pass by the receiver. There were so many drop balls this game. The receivers.
But the analytics people will tell you the reason that you go for two in these like multiple, and then you might have to go for two again later, is the chances. This is the analytics talk. I think this is the dumbest reasoning of all time. Because, like I say, every roll of a dice is a brand new thing. The chances of you rolling a one on a roll of a dice on a roll of a die is exactly the same, regardless of what you just rolled. Exactly the same. It does not change. So this analytics thought of if you go for it once, you have this percentage chance of getting it. If your percent chance of missing a 2-point conversion twice is way smaller, it's like no, it's not. It's the exact same. In fact, all that's changed is going to be the pressure later on of having to go for it again. So now the analytics talk is missing two of them is not going to happen. Okay, well, if that's your reasoning, if you're an analytics guy, then you have to go for it the second time because the chances of you missing it once are 50-50.
Well, you know, I don't even want to entertain the analytics. I'll just say this. You have Aaron Rodgers. You have an all-time quarterback. You basically are saying, I don't trust my MVP. He's going to win the MVP. He should win the MVP quarterback to put it in the end zone. And I don't think this is overreaction. I'm just going to say it. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I have zero trust in this guy at all now. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I do not want to play that decision, it's just my opinion. That decision, Joe, is such a damning decision for that relationship. Why, if you're Aaron Rodgers, I'm just trying to think in his head, and you played a pretty good game, like a really good game. You know, that one interception again was probably, or it was a pass interference or holding, whatever you want to call it. You know, he played a good game. Now they could have scored more points on the turnovers, and we'll get into that. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, you've had an MVP season. 53 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he's not trusting you? How do you move forward with that? Seriously.
I think the bigger question is, like, play it out into what's going to happen if you don't get either of them. You know what I mean? If you, let's say, like it happened, you kick the field goal, but you don't get a stop and you lose the game, versus you go for it and you don't get it and you lose the game. It's like, at least you can say, we went for it. I trusted Aaron Rodgers. I have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I put the ball in his hands. We didn't get it done. It's the easiest out of all time.
Yeah.
And now to sit back and have Aaron Rodgers have to go to a podium and say it wasn't my call. Like that was very small picture thinking. And I think that listen, Aaron Rodgers wasn't good in the red zone yesterday. Aaron Rodgers forced the ball to Davante Adams. He was 1-for-7 or something like that on red zone attempts. He wasn't good in the red zone. That being said, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers deserves part of the blame. A lot of people are saying, oh, he could have run it into the end zone. What I'll not even counter with that, but I'll sort of add on to that is I honestly don't even care whether or not he could have gotten it.
He gets close, I think.
If he gets close, they're going for it.
Yeah.
If he gets to the three, then they're absolutely going for it. Which, you know, you could argue he likes his shot. He likes having two shots from the seven as opposed to one shot from the three, which that's an Aaron Rodgers. I disagree. But also, it's probably not in his thought process as he's starting to scramble that his coach is going to kick it. But the point is,
well, he said that. I don't know if you saw that. He said, I thought we had four shots down there.
Right. So he, you know, I would have liked to seen him run the ball, just get closer there. It makes you, it opens up the playbook from the three as opposed to what you can do from the seven. The 7 yard line is a tough, you got to get 8 yards, but you can't get more than 18 yards. You know, it's a tough window, but at the same time, it's ridiculous that they didn't go for it.
I wonder though why he didn't run it. I watched that play probably 10 times because I don't know, seeing how Aaron Rodgers has played and seeing somewhat similar of a circumstance last week against the Rams, I think he gets in. I think he can angle it into that corner where the pylon is. But I also think if he doesn't, right, like you're saying, it's going to be close enough. They're going to go for it. I'm shocked he didn't use his legs there.
Yeah.
Because he, Aaron Rodgers, I think, has been one of the best ever at in that position of using his legs and knowing how to get into the end zone.
And it's I think that's where he deserves some criticism yesterday. You know, we talked about, you know, they don't get enough points off turnovers. That's fine. Like, you know, you absolutely have to capitalize on those turnovers. You know, I said yesterday to you and you disagree, but like Tom Brady did his best to throw that game away in the second half. I don't know what else you can do besides continue to give them the ball in that situation. I know his will to win overcame the three turnovers, but you know, he did his best to throw that game away and they absolutely have to capitalize. But the criticism I think that's more important is getting down there, the way they settled a couple times, including that time, because Aaron Rodgers seems to be forcing the ball to one guy. Now, listen, the Bucs played pretty good defense. And, you know, maybe in 50-50 situations, he likes Adams' chances. But it seems like he forced him the ball, and it didn't really work out. And I don't know how, I mean, if you watch Packers game this whole year, like, I don't know where Tanyan is on those goal line plays because that guy was a touchdown machine this year. So
he had 11 touchdowns this year.
Yeah. So, look, I think Aaron Rodgers certainly deserves criticism, but at the same time, you know, the way this game goes and the way, like, I'll say the guy played great. I don't know what else, you know, besides, you know, getting a couple more points off of turnovers. Like, I think it's better a guy can play.
Well, I think he did need to play some. Well, obviously, he did need to play somewhat better. Overall, he had a really good game, but 6 points off three turnovers to me is kind of the difference here. Brady had a terrible second half, which I'm not going to disagree that he didn't have a Brady had a terrible, but Brady had a great first half. That's all I'm trying to say. I think Brady played a very Brady that first drive.
Brady played the worst game of quarterback for the whole day yesterday. He did.
I mean, here's the thing.
Well,
that,
I mean, if we're going facts only, I mean, he did. He had the worst rated game of the day yesterday. He turned the ball over the most of anybody yesterday. Listen, here's the thing, and we can jump right into it right now if we want to, you know, shift gears into the Tom Brady conversation. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Is everybody happy from the Joe Prano, where's the Brady things? I said my opinion of Peyton Manning's overall career, which I always thought Peyton Manning was a great quarterback and one of the all-time greats. But my criticism was, you know, his lack of ability to get it done. When he switched teams and he did it, he made two Super Bowls with the Broncos and won one. That was where my opinion on Peyton Manning changed. Tom Brady gets to a Super Bowl without Bill Belichick. Tom Brady has been to 10 Super Bowls. He's been to like 6 Super Bowls if you take out all the criminally wrong ones.
See, there you go. There you go.
Listen, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
I don't know if you believe that. I think you're just saying that now, but that's fine. Look.
I'm saying he has the resume at this point speaks for itself, and it always did, but it was always tied to Bill Belichick. Now, here's the thing about Tom Brady is he gets there without Belichick. So he goes to a 10th Super Bowl in his first year. He does it without Belichick. So that's where I think he's earned the greatest of all time because that was, you know, the life vest that he was wearing. Now, I can have my opinion on what other people's legacies look if they play 20 years with Bill Belichick. And that's fine. We don't have to unpack that right now.
Well, my
point is he proved me wrong. He got there in his first year without Bill Belichick. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I appreciate you saying that, Joe. Puts a little spot in my heart. Look, I agree. I have gone back and forth on Brady for years too. The Super Bowl against the Rams, he doesn't even throw a touchdown pass, right? That playoffs, he throws three interceptions to two touchdowns. He doesn't do much that playoffs. But to me, if you look at this year, that, I mean, that's the difference, right? That is the difference on this team. Now they added some players, but yeah, also,
and that's the other thing. Let's talk about that. Now that he's gotten to 10 and he does it with another team, let's talk about just the, like, Tom Brady's career doesn't have a mark on it because he left the Patriots for a more talented team. Tom Brady's career doesn't have a mark on it because he lures big name veterans to join his team for, you know, that he lures Gronk out of retirement, that he gets Leonard Fournette to sign for less, that he gets Antonio Brown to come out. It doesn't have a mark on it because he built some sort of super team. His career's not going to have a mark on it when he's 6-4 in Super Bowls because he's not 4-0. Like, we're past the point now where the comparison to Joe Montana, where Joe Montana plays perfect in Super Bowls, he's gone to 10. There's not a mark on it because he's not undefeated in Super Bowls. He's gone to 10. And I think he's going to lose this one. And he'll be 6-4. He'll be, you know, a crazy comeback away from being a 500 quarterback in the Super Bowl. He'll be a crazy Malcolm Butler interception. He'll be he'll be a lot of things from being just over 500. But at the same time, he's been there 10 times. He's got six. Like, there's no mark on his career because he's lost a bunch of them or he left for a better situation. He left. He immediately made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and to me, look, that's the difference. Is I just want to look at this Bucs team. They go 7-9 last year. Sure, they add an older Gronk. They add Antonio Brown for, you know, 7 games, 8 games. But again, those guys weren't, let's be honest, they weren't major contributors. They weren't.
Well, I mean, Gronk's play yesterday is maybe the single biggest play of the game for the Bucs.
Sure.
If not the pick slash end of the half touchdown.
Yeah, that 29-yard catch and run was great. But my point is, like, overall for the season, all I'm saying is, to me, the quarterback is the most important position, right? We all agree. The biggest difference with this year's team and last year's team was you got a new quarterback. And the guy threw 40 touchdowns, 4,600 yards, and you got to give credit where credit's due. And that's my thing about Brady is I've gone back and forth as well. You know, is it system? Is it quarterback? And we always have this ridiculous discussion. Everybody does, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a combination of both. I think we've all agreed to that. But at the end of the day, to me, this just solidified it for Brady's mark as the greatest because he didn't play his best game. Definitely didn't. And in the second half, he played garbage. But even when they needed those 3 points, when Green Bay cut it to 5, he still led them on a drive, a must-need drive for points. Troy Aikman said it perfectly. They need points. They didn't get a touchdown. They got 3 points. And, you know, that ended up being the difference in the game, how everything played out. Those
By
three
the way,
points.
You said Tom Brady, 4,600 yards, which this, you know what this means with our quarterback matchup, with Godzilla versus Kong, with the baby goat versus the big goat. Some quarterback that wins the Super Bowl will now join Eli Manning as the only quarterbacks to throw for over 4,500 yards and win a Super Bowl.
You had to get an Eli plug in there, didn't
you? No, I'm just saying, you know, because we've talked a lot about, you know, gaudy passing yards and
and
how sort of peak quarterback play tops out at a certain point. So someone will join a very elite club with only 2 members.
Again, you had to get an Eli plug in there, didn't you? You just have to.
I mean, it could have been Rich Gannon. I'm just saying it wasn't Rich Gannon.
Look, I think people who are at this point I just don't like the excuses and you know, I'm sure I didn't look really too much, but I'm sure like a Barry McCockner is going to be one of those guys who's going to find excuses. But at the consistent level of what Brady's done it at this point, and exactly now that he's taken this team.
I mean, I think what's, you know, the way he was playing in the first half and the way they're out, they're just like straight up, you know, blowing them out of the water. It's like, well, there's not much of an argument here. He shows up, He plays incredible in the NFC Championship game. And here we are, whoever says he's not the GOAT now. I mean, I got to say, Tom Brady makes it pretty difficult on Tom Brady haters by, you know, trying to throw the game away in the second half and, be, you know, again, getting a very Tom Brady end of the game. A guy lines up in the neutral zone or he would have lost. A guy, you know, grabs a guy's shirt or he would have lost. A guy like, you know, there are a lot, the tuck rule. We were talking yesterday in a text with you and Tug, and I said, luckiest guy of all time.
And I got really angry.
And you got really angry.
I called you an asshole.
Well, you said also, and this is something that I just, it couldn't be more different. You're like, well, when people call Eli lucky, and I'm like, well, these are two different situations. I've never in my life said a guy made a lucky catch or a guy made a lucky throw or a guy made a lucky whatever. That's complete. Like, I just don't like disrespecting athletes who do things at a level that I could never imagine doing them and calling them luck. A guy lining up in the neutral zone right before you throw a game-ending pick, that's a little different. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady used the force to, like, pull, you know, have a guy line up in the neutral zone. At the same time, you know, a guy jumping the snap count because you went with a hard count is a totally different story. But a guy just straight up leaning his helmet over, or a guy getting a pass interference call when another guy doesn't, or a guy, you know, the tuck rule, a rule changing because you get it. Like, Tom Brady certainly has his fair share of career luck that has led to a couple of these Super Bowl appearances. And yesterday, it was always going to end that way. Tom Brady's going to throw three picks in the second half, and the pass interference call that leads to his pre-halftime touchdown gets run back in the second half. And now they're like, well, this time, Tom,
luck definitely happens. And I'm not saying that luck and fortune don't play a part, but
I said it yesterday. Luck is where the TB12 method meets opportunity. I mean, at this point, this is what it is.
I was just going to say, right? The famous quote, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. But this has always happened, right? I think it's happened to a lot of good teams, like, forever. You see luck, or if you want to call it luck or fortune, whatever it is that happens to good players, to good teams that have played consistently, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean that he hasn't been beneficial, but they're not exclusive, right? This is where I get all angry at the anti-Brady people at this point, because they're just in denial. You don't have 20 years of going to 10 Super Bowls, of being the leader all time in the history. He's going to finish all time as the leader in yards, touchdown passes, Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl MVPs, playoff wins. That's not luck. Is there some luck that comes into play? Sure. Is there some fortune and some very, very fortunate opportunities that came his way? Yeah, no one's denying that. But at the end of the day, the numbers back themselves up. You know, we could pick apart each per. It's kind of like, right? Because that's why I brought up LeBron last episode. I hate when people are like, well, if you take away Ray Allen's shot, he's got one less ring.
And if you but that's, again, that's saying if you take away a guy making an NBA player making, like, doing what Ray Allen does, right? Like, that's what I'm not saying. If you take away Randy Moss on his career, if you take away that Gronk catch, if you take away whatever.
But they do that with Draymond, right? If you take away Draymond Green getting suspended for game 5 or game 6, whatever it was, then that it's like, well, that was a non-on-the-court situation. I just think, like, at this point, I think I was so frustrated yesterday just because I to me, it's like so many Brady deniers.
I'm saying it. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time because he still has more Super Bowl wins and more Super Bowl appearances than Joe Montana. If you take away the tuck rule, the two cheating ones, the guy lined up offsides, the pass interference.
But that still sounds bitter to me, Joe. Like, that's not fair to Tom Brady. Like, the tuck rule was just – that was a rule – that was an ambiguous rule at the time. Like, Deflategate, they beat the Colts by 40 points. I don't think the ball has affected the game that much.
Right, but look, there's we can unpack. We don't need to unpack the Deflategate. It happened while we were doing the show.
Yeah.
The point was, you don't get into an AFC championship game at home unless you win X amount of games. Like, you know, we can talk about the cheating blemish on Tom Brady's career all the time. But the bottom line is, Hank Aaron died a couple days ago, and a lot of people said the true home run king, because a guy who's never punished for cheating, supposedly, based on, you know, Balco and whatever and rumors and reports and whatever, cheated.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't against the rules. Tom Brady was team and personally punished for cheating in multiple Super Bowl runs. Like, if we're going to do, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, you take away those, he still has more appearances than anybody else. But if we're going to, like, you know, if we're going to have a firing squad on Barry Bonds' career the day Hank Aaron dies, are we just going to pretend Tom Brady didn't cheat when his legacy is all said and done?
No, I don't think we're going to pretend any of that. But I don't have a firing squad personally on Barry Bonds. I've said he's
right, but that's what I'm saying. But the media, the whole thing, like, if we're going to, you know, that's what I always say. It's just, what I said about the refs, what I said about Matt LaFleur, what I've said about people talking about Andy Reid and Bieniemy is pick a lane. Barry Bonds ain't in the Hall of Fame. So when the writers get to make the call, I have a feeling Tom Brady will be in the Hall of Fame, and I think it'll be unanimous.
Yeah, as it should be. I want to play a call, though, from a Bucks fan. They exist. An elated Bucks fan.
What's up, boys? It's Tyler Kelly out from Houston, Texas. Just had a quick question, really quick one. Do you believe by the end of Matthew Stafford's career?
No, that's the wrong one. Damn it.
I was like, man, a Bucks fan in Texas is going to be a. We're going to start with that.
We'll get to the Matthew Stafford. Oh, damn, I screwed that up. Where was his number? Oh, it's this one. Sorry. Let's try this.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Tommy calling in from Athens, and Joe Prano needs to take this Tom Brady Bucks L. I have been a Bucks fan for my entire life, and I was 4 when they won the Super Bowl, and I don't remember it. And since the Bucks won the Super Bowl, they have been one of the worst teams in the NFL, on the level of the Browns and the Bengals and the Lions. I never, ever thought in my life I would see the Bucks win any games, any meaningful games. And they come in here with Tom Brady, and he literally changes the franchise. This is like if Tom Brady went to the Browns and they went to the Super Bowl, or if he goes to the Bengals and they went to the Super Bowl. The Bucks were that bad. They have the worst winning percentage in NFL history. Like this, I can't even believe this. Joe Prano, you've got to take this Tom Brady L. This is literally unbelievable stuff. This is LeBron James type turning around the franchise. Anyways, just wanted to say that. Condoms are for the University of Georgia. Go Bucks.
I do think people are lost in that. They have the worst winning percentage in NFL history. So my point is just not even about as far as the Bucks organization is a dumpster fire. I think people don't realize.
Yes, but so here's the thing. I already just said Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. So let's leave that there. What I said before about Tom Brady, you know, what everybody does with LeBron James, is, you know, his career is a blank. Karl Malone stayed with the Jazz his whole career. Tom Brady wasn't like, I like Florida. I like warm weather. I like no state income tax. Tom Brady looked around the league and was like, who needs a quarterback who has talent? So let's not act like they were 0-16. Jameis Winston, I am the face of the Jameis Winston is trash fan club for going on fucking 5 years now. Like, we did battle with a Jameis Winston slurper. Like, I couldn't be more outspoken that Jameis Winston, I have called Jameis Winston on numerous occasions the biggest, but I called him Jamarcus Winston. So I don't know what people want from me other than saying, if I think your quarterback is Jamarcus Russell and you're 7-9, let's not act like he's fucking Adam Banks joining the Mighty Ducks. Like, they were pretty good. They had a horrible quarterback. They had Jamarcus Russell at quarterback, and they went 7-9. I said Tom Brady would go 11-5 and win a wild card. So I don't know what, like, you want me to take an L because he won one more game than I said he was going to win?
Look, I think the point is the franchise, again, of the call is, I agree. Like, they're in the drags with the Lions, Bengals, Browns. The point is they are in that same wheelhouse as far as the last 30 years, 40 years, whatever it is. And the point was, the one major change that
but that's unfair, right? Because, and this is what the media is doing now. You have your Tom Brady haters, you have your Tom Brady slurpers. And I can always say, I've always said Tom Brady was great. And my opinion on what other people do with Tom Brady's career is also my opinion. But I'm in the middle of saying, like, Tom Brady's great. Tom Brady's going to make the Tampa Bay Bucs better. But like, are we're just all going to sit here and pretend Bruce Arians didn't take over the team 3 seasons ago?
No, but I think
that's where the whole thing turned around. And then the missing piece was him adding a quarterback and him saying that for 2 full seasons. Saying, we have a quarterback problem. We have a quarterback problem. We have a problem at quarterback. Our quarterback keeps turning over the ball. We're a good team with a problem at quarterback. We're a good team and we should be winning games. And we have a quarterback who's making poor decisions. We're just going to pretend that that didn't happen?
No, it did. But I think the Brady, and I know you would mock it, but I think the Brady effect, the intangible, and now this, again, is opinion, so this isn't a fact-based opinion, but I think he does make everyone around him that much better because he comes from a winning culture in New England, and all he wants is to win. And I think when you bring in the quarterback, the leader of the team, with that mindset, I think that, you know, energy is contagious. I think we all agree, right? It's kind of like even going back to my third grade team. When one kid sulks and one kid puts his head down, I was trying to tell him that. Then guys, it goes to your teammates. When Brady brings in that demand and that high level of expectation, I think that changes.
That 12 quarterbacks in the NFL bring?
Joe, I don't know if everybody 12. I wouldn't say I agree with that.
Okay. I mean, we're going to agree to disagree, but okay. Like the bottom line is, I think what Tom Brady, like, I have never denied what Tom Brady is as a quarterback. And the people who, you know, get on me because I'm not, you know, crowning Tom Brady as the greatest and most talented quarterback to ever walk the earth. Look, we can argue this up and down, day and night, all you want. First of all, he did it with the Bucs. I give him the greatest of all time. But here's the other thing. I think Carson Palmer was grossly overrated in his career. And he joins a Bruce Arians team. And I got Jacob Faith and Patrick Sullivan and whatever. I'm going to bomb your house if you don't vote for him for MVP. This guy's the greatest quarterback of all time. He wallowed away in Cincinnati his whole career. We're 12-13-3. What else are we supposed to do? And I said, Bruce Arians is a great coach. Bruce Arians got a quarterback who's competent, and he turned around that franchise. Also, Carson Palmer is going to choke when all is said and done. And Carson Palmer choked, and the NFL football life of Carson Palmer mentioned it with a blurb. But, like, I think that's the difference, what we're talking about, what Tom Brady is versus other things. Like, Carson Palmer is a career, you know, competent quarterback. He gets with Bruce Arians. He puts up MVP numbers. They get blown out in the NFC Championship game. Tom Brady's way better than Carson Palmer. But what happened is Tom Brady got the Carson Palmer, Bruce Arians thing and also is good enough not to get blown out in an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I'm not denying it's not a combination of the talent around you, your coach. It's all those things. Yeah, he definitely went to
arguably a team with a defense,
one of the most talented offensive teams with Godwin and Evans, and, you know, Jones had a good year. And obviously you add Fournette, who was kind of an outcast coming from the Jags, but they fit him in the system well. And look, I'm not denying the talent around him. I'm just saying, to me, like, that's it. Brady is that final piece that they needed. And
by the way, that's fine and great. And like, let's have that be the opinion. Tom Brady was the final piece the Bucs needed. Not they were the creamsicle Vinny Testaverde, 0-16 Bucs. Tom Brady walked through the door. They changed uniforms. They got a new personality. Everything changed. They were the great. They go into the Super Bowl. Tom Brady is smart. No one's ever denied that. Tom Brady is calculated. No one's ever denied that. Tom Brady understands football in a way that like three other people in the history of the game understand football. And no one's ever denied that. That's what the argument is, has been all time, which is just like our friend Andrew Hawkins says, the Patriots ran a system that only they could run with a guy like Tom Brady. Now, I could argue there's a small handful of other people who could run that offense like Tom Brady did, and where would they have been if they had been in that offense? Sure, we can do that on a whole other podcast. The point is, Tom Brady didn't pick up and go, I like red and silver. I'm going to the Bucks. I'm a pirate. He went, where can I win fucking tomorrow?
Sure. It doesn't mean it's always easy, though. That like
LeBron again. James didn't go, where can I win tomorrow when he went to the Lakers? LeBron James went, I want to be in L.A. Everybody, LeBron missed the playoffs. All LeBron cares about is making movies and making Space Jam.
I think LeBron also knew he was going to a
competent organization
who was going to
get that could put pieces around him.
Yeah.
Not where he could go that already has pieces.
I mean, they had some pieces. They obviously reshuffled those pieces, but that's a different discussion.
Right.
Look, I think obviously there's different ways and there's different angles we can discuss the Brady thing. And like you said, this could go on forever. You know, I think he's the greatest. It sounds like you're joining my team. And as far as
also, he's got like 3 weeks left for it.
What do you mean?
Because I mean, not that's jokingly 3 weeks left for it. But like, if Patrick Mahomes beats him in the Super Bowl and Patrick Mahomes wins a Super Bowl again, like Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this will be the segue over to the other game.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes is climbing the greatest quarterbacks of all time list, and he's climbing it very quickly.
I agree. Before we get to that, I want to say we're having a GOAT discussion, and I know for me, Joe, the GOAT meat in my freezer right now is ButcherBox. Guys, today's sponsor, ButcherBox, believes everyone deserves high-quality, humanely sourced meat, and I will say I love their meat. I've been using it's not a Foreman. I got this nice grill for the house, like inside. It's what's the word I'm looking for? There's no like steam. There's no smokeless. There it is. Jesus, Joe. I got this
smokeless grill.
I got a smokeless grill, like a nice one for the kitchen. I've been grilling tons of ButcherBox lately. I love that it shows right up to the front door. I don't have to leave my house, and I get 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individuals, shipped with no antibiotics, no added hormones. It comes right to my door. Guys, it's a no-brainer. It really is. Get yourself some ButcherBox. If you want to grill, if you want to cook, it's the best stuff out there. Right now, listen to this. You can get a free one pack of bacon and one pack of pulled pork off your first box. That's one pack of bacon and one pack of pulled pork for free in your first box. Simply go to butcherbox.com/dirty sports. That's ButcherBox. I'm sorry. Sorry. Just go to butcherbox.com/dirty. So we'll do that again. That's butcherbox.com/dirty. Get that sent right to your house. Again, butcherbox.com/dirty.
I love the ButcherBox meats. I think it's such a good high quality. And Andy, you sold me. Can we get ButcherBox my new address? Because I live with a vegetarian now, and I need some bacon.
Yeah, I'll get that your way for sure. So good transition into the second game. I agree. Romo even said it yesterday. I don't know if you caught this during the broadcast. He said, I honestly think if he retired after this season, he's already a Hall of Famer. This is where we're at in three seasons with Patrick Mahomes. At this point, I be honest, I just don't know how you stop them.
I don't think that's even really a – I don't even think that's really like or should necessarily be a strategy. I think that there's – I think good defense, you know, great defense beats great offense. But I think the – we right now in football, we don't have an elite defense – that is on par with the weapons and the strategy that the Chiefs bring offensively. And they do just enough defensively too. You know, like it's not all offense. They're not the greatest show on turf. They have an incredible offense. They have the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. They have insane weapons. They get the job done on defense. I agree with you. I don't see how you stop them. I mean, the Bills didn't look great defensively against the Colts, but then they showed up. They had a plan of attack against the Ravens. And it just goes to show you that when we're talking about the quality of quarterbacks and the guys who win MVPs and should win MVPs, whatever, like you can scheme for Lamar Jackson. You can't scheme for Patrick Mahomes.
I was curious how he would play because he's battling the turf toe and obviously the neck brain injury. It's like it didn't even affect him, man. And we forget Mahomes is a big dude. I think they said that during the broadcast. He's like around 6'3", 240. Like he's not a little guy.
Yeah.
So he's tough to bring down. Even when you grab his jersey and like yesterday where he's a little more immobile, he's still not easy to bring down. I don't know, man. This is going to sound weird. There's part of me who they're too good. They have too many speedsters from Hill to Harbin. Like it's almost unfair. Like I almost have a defeatist attitude at this point sometimes. Where you're like, dude, is anybody going to give him a game?
Well, I guess that, you know, and we certainly have to talk about Chiefs Bills, but since you said, is anybody give him a game? This is a question for you since you're for sure in this camp. But the weapons, Mahomes, the weapons, the coaching staff, kind of a ball hawking defense versus Tom Brady's will to win and the way he just gets the most out of his squad. What do you see happening in this? What do you see? Would you give them a chance in the Super Bowl?
I give them a chance. I don't like how you word that, though. The will to win. It's just a dig at Brady. That's what you're doing. Okay.
Sorry, not his will to win. His killer instinct? Is that better?
No. All I'm saying is...
His spoken and outspoken leadership? Unspoken leadership?
I think a guy like a Tom Brady, just like a guy like Peyton Manning, affects like same way Peyton brought that to Denver and they make two Super Bowls. Like the knowledge, the respect, and just the overall personality of players of that caliber, I think are going to affect the whole team. I'm not out there saying, oh, it was Tom. I don't like that. That's like a McCockner thing, a will to win and all that. But I feel the same way about a LeBron James, like a Michael Jordan. You know, the greats bring that expectation of greatness. But that can only go so far, of course. I hope it's a game. But the crazy thing about the Chiefs is we all probably thought the same thing. They go down 9-0 yesterday. You're like, whatever.
Totally.
It doesn't even matter because all they need to do realistically is turn it on for one quarter. Because they can put up so many points. Remember the first time the Bucs played them? In Tampa?
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill had 200 yards in the first quarter.
And they kind of downshifted. And they just went into cruise control for the rest of the game.
Yeah, they only won by three. I went back and I rewatched some stuff and looked at the box score. They only won by three because the Bucks put up, in a way, two garbage time touchdowns. My point is, I just don't know. The only reason they played close games, like you said, they would downshift. But when they don't, like, good luck stopping them.
Right.
It's 3.5, right? I just think that's a small spread. I don't know. I mean, can the Bucks to be in that game are going to have a different approach than they've had all year. They can't be going downfield. They're going to have to dink and dunk and have long drives to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands.
And you know, what it comes down to when you talk about like the Brady thing and this matchup and whatever is like, you know, there are loud, outspoken people out there about the Tom Brady effect. And there are, you know, the people who want to, you know, stand in their sister's basement puffing up their chest about how right they are. But I can tell you one thing for sure. Matty Goldberg right now does not want to bet me on Tom Brady's will to win in the Super Bowl. And I guarantee you he won't do it. Here's his lockbox right here offering him money. Do you want money? Do you want killer instinct versus the world? Here, come have the money.
What's up with you and Goldberg? What are you talking about?
Well, Goldberg,
I knew you had a bet.
So here's the thing. This is what needs to be known about the bet. And you know this to be true. I deleted all of my replies last year, correct?
Yes.
I deleted like tweets older than like 2 years, all my replies. Matty Goldberg is claiming I deleted our bet to hide from it.
Conspiracy.
Right. When the truth is, the idea of me betting, the idea of me making a bet, and every single person that ever knows me making a bet with them, it gets marked down and a little bit. Like, what happened was I paid Matty Goldberg $100 on a bet that only Matty in the whole world claims to have happened. Now, did we exchange ideas on Brady versus Belichick versus whatever? Sure, maybe. But I paid him because I'm like, here's the deal. If you say this is the bet,
no, I remember. I remember you did make a bet, $100 bet, who makes the Super Bowl first, Brady or Belichick.
Now, you saying that happened on our show, right? Because that's what I thought. I thought we had a conversation when Maddie stepped in for you at one point.
I don't know if it happened on the show. I do remember the tweet exchange because I remember laughing about it.
So I pay Maddie.
And it could have happened. Did it happen on the show? I don't know. I mean, I was dealing with my dad's stuff.
That's the thing. Because I don't know. Did I bet on winning a Super Bowl? Did I bet on making a Super Bowl? Did I bet on this? I don't know. Maddie also has no reference of this. But then I call Maddie up and I'm like, let's bet on some action. And he's like, man, we already bet. It's locked in. There's no betting anymore. I'm like, that's fine. All right, listen, I'm not going to play these games. I know Matty. The guy, he's living in a bunk bed. He's squirreling away money under his bed. So I paid him. He's been paid.
Okay.
He's been paid, but he can't leave it at being paid. He's got to take screenshots of our payments and talk shit while not tagging me and all this. And here I am.
Wait, am I missing? Did I miss something?
So now the bank.
Maddie's talking shit. Hold on.
So now the bank is open for withdrawals. Maddie can get the will to win, the killer instinct, the goat, and some points in the Super Bowl. Does he want it? Does he want to go 200? Does he want to go 500? Let's just all agree here. There are gamblers, and then there are guys who like to play online poker for 6 cents a hand. I am a gambler. Matty Goldberg is a 6 cent a poker hand grinder who likes to take his little wins when they're literally given to him and talk shit.
Wow, there's some serious shots fired. I think, can we bring Goldberg on Thursday? I think we need to.
We can bring
this.
Goldberg on Thursday if Goldberg wants to gamble. But if Goldberg wants to come in here, listen, you know, it's just about the media disrespecting Tom Brady. It's the media and you guys and Nick Wright and Barry McCockner. Okay, well, me, Nick Wright, and Barry McCockner all say Tom Brady's going to lose the Super Bowl. Do you want to bet against it? Do you want to bet for your GOAT?
Yeah, but see here's my thing about bringing in, like, those guys, Joe. Like, I just think what I hate about, the like, those things is the goalpost keeps moving. It's like, so
I'm not Barry McCockner, and I'm not Nick Wright. So I know, but Matty Goldberg should stop talking to me about Barry McCockner.
But you mentioned them. I'm kind of diverting the conversation to somebody like them. I just hate when people will say, oh, Brady, he's not going to do this. And then when he does, people then double, triple down and say, well, he's not going to do this. So you're mad. I'm looking at Goldberg's Twitter. You're mad at his screenshot of a Venmo?
No, I'm just mad. He got his money. He got his win. I don't know what. Now he wants what? He doesn't want more action. I know that. So what does he want? Clout? Maddie, I'm talking about you on the show. You're getting what you want. You got your money and your clout.
You have
1,000 poker buy-ins at 10 cents a buy-in.
I think probably Maddie's thing, I don't want to speak for him. Like I said, we should just bring him on for a few minutes and he can discuss it. He probably just wants you to admit you were wrong about Brady taking the team to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I was wrong about Tom Brady taking the team to the Super Bowl. Now I want Matty Goldberg to come on the show and either tell me I'm wrong about him not winning the Super Bowl and gamble, or say I'm right about Tom Brady not winning the Super Bowl and not gamble. You got the GOAT. You got the killer instinct. You got the will to win. You got the TB12 method. You got the way he inspires teammates. You got veteran leadership. I've got Mahomes on the road.
Well, I mean, man, you're asking me with pocket aces to bet versus you with pocket kings. I mean, anything can happen here, buddy.
Would you give him points?
Yeah, you can have the spread if you want some.
Because it's, what, around 3.5 now?
Sure.
I might take you up on that straight up. No, but you'd have to give me points.
See, you want to gamble, but we're gamblers.
I'm not a gambler.
Maddie Goldberg is essentially sitting at a virtual poker table eating club sandwiches his whole life for 6 cents a hand.
Shots fired, Prano.
$100 for him is when the fucking, you know, 10 slot machines hit simultaneously.
And free drinks!
Well, it sounds like Goldberg, you got to let Goldberg defend himself.
Goldberg can defend himself.
You think
I just don't want him to come on talking about what Colin Cowherd says. I don't listen to Colin Cowherd. I have no podcast. I don't listen. I'm watch sports media. Talk to me about what I'm saying.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. Now, that we all agree on that. Does Matty, Riverboat Matty, the Maverick, as they call him, Matty the Maverick, he's Mel Gibson riding the riverboat, playing poker. He's Doc Holliday. Does Dirty Sports' most famous gambler want to bet on who we agree is the greatest quarterback of all time?
But hold on. I want to defend Matty here in this, because if he doesn't, Joe, they're the underdogs. They're going against, I mean, come on, the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. You're making it sound like if Matty doesn't want to defend or bet on Bucks Brady, that he's a bitch. I don't know if that's fair.
No, I'm not saying it. Then I'm just saying we all agree.
Agree what?
That the will to win, that Tom Brady doesn't have some fucking magic juju. No,
but who's
and the
but,
will to win?
But stop saying, who's saying that?
Well, that's
do you think I'm saying that? All I'm saying is I think somebody like Brady's caliber makes the team better.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Andy.
Do you think LeBron makes the team better? Do you think Michael Jordan makes the team better?
Let me ask you something. We've talked about And we should, and we can double back to the Bills game after this.
Okay.
We agree. You can't really scheme for Patrick Mahomes, correct?
Correct.
Do we think that Bill Belichick did a decent job scheming for Patrick Mahomes when they beat him in the AFC Championship game? Now, Tom Brady did get the lining up offsides before his pick six to lose the game, but did he do an okay job scheming for Patrick Mahomes? Do we think that if Bill Belichick is the coach of this Bucs team, that maybe they come with a strategy?
Yeah, he's the best coach of all time.
Okay. So I think what we're saying is it's not just the will to win. You also need to have a way to stop the Kansas City Chiefs offense.
Of course. Yeah. Look, no one's denying the combination of coach player, right? For every dynasty, whether it's Popovich with the Spurs or Phil Jackson with the Lakers or Bulls, whoever. Of course.
Tyronn Lue with the Cavs.
You know, of course, well, not that, but of course,
glad we agree.
Of course, the coach player, of course that matters. No one's denying. And even last year, it's crazy. I was thinking about last year, and I might rewatch it. I thought their game plan in last year's Super Bowl, look, they lost overall. Don't you think it was a pretty good game plan defensively?
Yeah.
What the 49ers did?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Mahomes' best game. I don't know. You basically need to beat Mahomes. You need to keep him at an 80% level, which is still great. Mahomes at 80% is still amazing. You need to somehow keep him to that or only let him go nuts for a quarter or whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, the Bucs are going to have to get to him.
I mean, that's the thing about Patrick Mahomes is we are a guy lining up offsides away from him coming to the league, going to three consecutive Super Bowls to start his career.
Now, let's not forget, though, in that overtime, Kansas City didn't even get the ball. Brady led them straight down the field, and they got a touchdown.
Right.
So, look, we got a lot.
Now, let's double back to the Chiefs-Bills. I think, you know, the one thing about do I take pleasure in knowing that Poopsock lost his, military salary betting on the Bills this year? Yeah, I do. It gives me great joy. That being said, I wasn't rooting for the Bills in this game, but I'm rooting for the Bills in general. Josh Allen's fun to watch. Diggs leaving. Diggs, doing the snake Plissken and escaping Kirk Cousins is, something to root for. They are a fun team. It's nice as much as the, Patriots had dominated the AFC East for so long. It's nice to see another team win the AFC East, do well, have a young quarterback that, looks like he's the future of a franchise. Bills Mafia is fun, all that. They don't have the defensive strategy or defensive talent to stop Patrick Mahomes. And then from the offensive side, Josh Allen plays fine, but he's running backwards the whole game. And props to, former Giants defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, who he brings pressure to do just enough with the team, with the talent he has. He knows how to use his ball hawks. He knows how to use pressure. He knows how to use, edge pressure with defensive backs to just get guys off their spot. And if he makes one, if he gets one turnover here or one big sack there, you're behind the eight ball when you're going against, the greatest show on mud or whatever we're calling them.
There were some also questionable calls. I don't know why, not that it mattered, but they dissected it during the game. Why they're going for two at that point when they were down by, I forget how many points in the fourth quarter. Again, it ultimately didn't matter, but they did get the onside kick. I don't know. Look, if I'm a Bills fan, the future looks good. No longer have the Patriot dynasty with Brady and Belichick together. Look, it looks bright. Maybe get some running backs.
But the other thing is, let's have perspective. When the future looks bright, they just played in an AFC championship game.
That's what I'm saying. Like, It looks bright.
Is the future like doing this a bunch?
I think it could be.
Yeah, but my point is, right, that's a like you have a juggernaut in the Chiefs.
Yes.
And like I said before, I don't think it's a, like, even though people in other sports or with other players, you know, like to say there's a black eye on this guy's career for like escaping to greener pastures where they're not going to have to see this opponent, where they're not going to have to play the Spurs, or they're not going to have to play whoever. Tom Brady went to the NFC, and Tom Brady gets his shot against Mahomes now in a Super Bowl. Is the brightness for the Bills, is it bright enough where you ever see them beating a Kansas City Chiefs team that's led by Patrick Mahomes? Or are you hoping that, like, he gets knocked out before this game? You knock him out in that game. The turf toe's too much.
You never know what's going to happen.
Because now there's talk of, where's Stafford going? Where's Rodgers going? Where's Deshaun Watson going? What's the Miami? Like, I like what the Bills have built, but was their window a hobbled Mahomes in the AFC Championship game?
I'm going to say no. Because I think things change so rapidly in the NFL. I mean, it's crazy to think the Chiefs are, think about this. This shows the parity of the league. The Chiefs are trying to become the first team to go back to back since the Patriots did in 2003, 2004. My point is, I feel above all sports, and I don't know the numbers on it, but I feel like there's a lot more parity. I know the Patriots have been to a lot of Super Bowls, but there hasn't been a back-to-back in 17 years. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you've seen a lot of back-to-backs in the other leagues.
Sure.
So I just think you never know what can happen. You really don't. And who knows? Right now, it doesn't appear too friendly in the AFC for anybody against the Chiefs. But who knows? I think I like what the Bills are doing. You know, it's 1 year. Who knows? Whatever. Like, I don't know. In the words of Kevin Garnett, anything is possible, right?
That's right.
And the Matthew Stafford thing, it happened. You alluded to it.
He's free.
He is free.
Well, he's not free officially, but they're processing his, you know, processing his freedom from jail. It's like the last day in jail. Like, they're giving him all his clothes back, all his personal items. They're getting him out of the jumpsuit. They're getting him out of the aqua blue and silver jumpsuit. They're giving back his, you know, his personal items. He's getting ready to be processed out of jail.
Yeah. Let me play this call real quick. I don't even remember what it said. It was about Stafford, though. This was before the news was revealed that he's going to leave. Let me see what they say, though.
What's up, boys? It's Tyler Kelly out from Houston, Texas. Just had a quick question, really quick one. Do you believe by the end of Matthew Stafford's career, he'll have enough to be a Hall of Famer? Just wanted to see where y'all took that and have the ball rolling. Anyways, condoms are for all of Houston sports right now. It's literally chaos right now for our stars. Bye.
I'll start real quick. His numbers are there as far as through this many games, through this many seasons. The problem is he doesn't have a single playoff win. Now, he's only played three. But to me, okay, so we say Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer because
that's what I was going to say. So if he eclipses all Philip Rivers' numbers, which he probably will unless he retires early,
Philip Rivers also has five playoff wins. It's not a lot. It's five, though.
Right. It's not a lot, but like, but I guess the question is, like, what's to me like? To me, your legacy is your numbers plus, like, your winning. And your winning comes in the form of, like, getting to a Super Bowl.
I agree.
Winning a Super Bowl.
No, like, I think getting.
Is Philip Rivers' five playoff wins different, better, or worse than, like, if Stafford finishes with a playoff win or two playoff wins or no playoff wins? I don't think so. To me, it's not. That's not a factor in my decision. Like, well, I'm not looking. Let me just say this too. I'm not looking at your teams, like your record as a starter. I'm not looking at your record in the playoffs. I'm not looking at whatever. Like, we need gross numbers plus or minus championships. That's a fact. Like, you know, people talk about gross. You know, I was talking to somebody and they were like, Eli Manning's not a fucking Hall of Famer because, like, Vinny Testaverde won, you know, finished sixth in yards when he retired. Okay, here's the thing. Vinny Testaverde wins two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. He is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer wins two Super Bowls. He is in the Hall of Fame. So that to me is the your championship level ability is, you know, whipped cream and a cherry on your career. But you can't, like, whipped cream and cherry in a bowl isn't a sundae.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't just put whipped cream and cherry and say Trent Dilfer is the best sundae you've ever had. Like, it's bad. There's no ice cream in here, guy. So, you know, to me, I think Matthew Stafford is trending towards a Hall of Famer, but I think that's exactly why he wants out, because he's been in a situation where winning playoff games, getting to the playoffs, isn't an option. And it's happened to guys in Detroit before, and they said, well, I don't play the most coddled position in football. I don't want to die of, you know, concussions. I quit.
Well,
Matthew Stafford's going like, hey, the Niners need a quarterback and the Patriots need a quarterback and Brady's allowed to leave. And
I'm glad that this is all being brought up, because this is a perfect time for me to introduce. I have a new book coming out.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford Derangement Syndrome. How media bias has caused us to overlook the start of a Hall of Fame NFL career. It's going to be out by March 1st, and I've put all the analytics into why Matthew Stafford is on a trajectory to be a Hall of Famer.
And I mean, first of all, I like this. And second of all, can you just basically write the same book and have the last chapter be also never even accused of raping anybody or sexually assaulting anybody or eating a W on the sideline? So, like, all the raw stats plus none of the downside.
Yeah. By the way, I will admit, guilty pleasure of mine going to that guy's Twitter page.
I mean, spinning SpongeBob. Like, he's a Tom Brady stan. You know, like,
pick a lane, bro.
Yeah.
Talk about, like, that's definition of pick a lane.
Yeah.
Like, definition of pick a lane.
His quarterback rankings at this point are Otto Graham, Jameis Winston, then Brady.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, okay, bro.
I love, there was a few on. Every Jameis Winston hater owes him an apology.
He said that?
Yeah.
Because
after yesterday's game.
Yeah.
You know. I think Jameis Winston owes a lot of people apologies. I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Prano, I'm excited to announce this next partnership that we have.
Oh, I'm very excited. Speaking of, you know, all that's gone on this weekend is like, I'm obviously a big Aaron Rodgers stan, but like, you can't argue with Aaron Rodgers. He's golfing right now. I know he likes it. I've seen him at the Tahoe tournament, and you know, the numbers are what they are, but when all is said and done, you go out and you pick up your golf bag and you head to play 18 while Tom Brady heads to the Super Bowl. It's hard for me to defend you, buddy. And that's absolutely what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And I only hope that Aaron Rodgers is using the same golf bag that we are now using at the Dirty Sports Podcast, the Minimal golf bag. Minimal is an awesome golf bag company that's based right here in Southern California. And the reason I hope Aaron Rodgers is using it is because maybe he could use the Bluetooth speaker that comes on the Minimal golf bag
to play
some soothing, maybe play some Jack Johnson or some, George Harrison solo guitar stuff. Like, he needs some calming, soothing music because he had a rough weekend. He's going to be thinking about that fourth down call all off season. Hopefully he's got some soothing music on the course. Andy, has your bag arrived?
It hasn't arrived, but you showed me yours. This thing, yes. And I think it's important for dirtballs to hear this because I am not an avid golfer. This bag wants me to become an avid golfer. This is one of the most, it's a fully customizable golf bag. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, I'm struggling for words because there are so many cool features that are legitimately awesome.
Minimal golf bags make minimalistic, modern, fully customizable golf bags. Everything you need, nothing you don't. Here's how I've described it, Andy. It's the Tesla of golf bags.
It's a great description.
Mine, I saw this when they customized mine for me. It's this white leather material. It looks so great in the back of my white Cadillac on my white leather seats. They put a cartoon of my face on it with me wearing a Miller Lite hat. It's got a beer. Well, it's not just for beer, but obviously I'm using it for Miller Lite. They have a cooler pocket that has drain holes, so you can put ice in the bag with your beers, which I did yesterday.
Amazing.
It's got a solar panel, which charges your phone, which can be used to charge the Bluetooth speaker. It's amazing. And then my favorite things, a couple of my favorite things, no zippers. The worst thing in the world is when a zipper breaks, because like we all say, oh, we can just take something to like the tailor and get them to. Anytime a zipper breaks on something, it is done. It's all magnets. And again, fully customizable. They put my face on mine. They put the Dirty Sports logo and your initials on yours. And then honestly, my favorite thing, and it's only available in the Minimal golf bags. They have a patent pending phone holder filming pocket. So we've all seen the golf bags that go onto legs. They lean down and they go onto legs. When the Minimal golf bag goes lean down on its legs, they have an outer pocket that then becomes level. You put your phone in there, you put it behind you at the range, and you can film your own swing, which I just did. I played with my brother the other day. We went to the range before, and I set up my phone bag. I set up my Minimal bag. I put the phone thing. I took a bunch of video of my swing, and I was able to break down what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong in my swing. You can set it up on the course behind you and film, your tee shots onto par threes. If you hit a hole in one, isn't it great that you could have it on film? It's just, I saw these bags and I was like, I need one. We worked out a great partnership with those guys, and you've got one on the way. They've got white, they've got black. Personally, I think the white is incredible.
Like, if
it's the coolest. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna say, if you're a golfer, this is no lie, I can't miss product. And mine should be arriving today or tomorrow. I'm stoked. It's winter here. It's still cold, but when the weather gets better, I'm excited. Like, I'm giddy. After you show me yours, guys, you got to go over to minimalgolf.com to check this out. That's MINIMAL golf.com, minimalgolf.com. I mean, the feature to film your swings and the Bluetooth setup, I mean, for the speakers, it's just
in your phone. You could like Tug always tells me, like, I'm a slow golfer. It's tough for me to get through a round while still, I use my app on my phone to track my score. The worst thing is when I'm tracking a good round and I'm almost out of juice and I'm like, am I going to be able to upload this? Am I not going to be able to upload this? You plug in your phone, it charges your phone. It's got a solar panel. It's like ridiculous. I'll just read the phone pocket, The stand mechanism, a four-way divider, comfortably carries 14 clubs, insanely comfortable. Honestly, the straps are ridiculously comfortable. The magnetic pockets, like I said, no zippers. The cooler pocket where you can put ice in. The idea that you have something that has both electronics and a cooler that you can put ice in is mind-blowing. The white is dope. The black, I can't wait for you to tell me how that looks, but the white is like, the white is clean. I feel like I'm Miami Vice when I'm golfing. Check out Minimal Golf Bags. And the last thing I'll say before we move on from this, Andy, since this is our first promotion of their product, you would think, I called it the Tesla of golf bags. It's the Tesla of golf bags at Honda Accord prices. It isn't, I told my brother about it. He's like, this bag is ridiculous. And he's like, how much did you pay for it? I told him, and he said, that's what I paid for my bag. I was like, but your bag doesn't have a cooler pocket or a phone charger or a Bluetooth speaker or a solar panel. And he's like, or a phone filming pocket. He's like, yeah, I know. And I was like, well, the idea that they're able to charge the same price for golf bags that don't have any of this stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. It's awesome, guys. Go right now, or when the podcast ends, over to minimalgolf.com. Check it out. Great products. Can't rave enough about it. And I can't wait to play. Maybe it'll help.
The only question is, when we get together for a golf round, who's music? You know, we're both going to have Bluetooth speakers. Whose music do you choose?
Well, that is a good question. And this is going to inspire me to improve my absolutely horrid golf game. And what better way than to do it in style, Joe Prano?
Absolutely. And honest, and truly, like, the one day I've had so far, and I'm going to do it today again, but the one day I've had so far on the range with filming my swing is like a game changer. It really is. I can see all the things I'm doing wrong. It's like, it, you know, a golf bag that makes you a more stylish golfer and literally makes you a better golfer. I'm so excited that we finally have this as our as a sponsor of the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Yeah, they're great. So go check that out, minimalgolf.com. We got to talk Hank Aaron.
We got to.
Sadly, Hank Aaron passed over the weekend. He was 86 years old. And it's crazy to think, and I tweeted this out, that he's been underappreciated, I think. It's just my view. He's always connected to passing Babe Ruth and the home runs. But my fascination with him actually goes way back. So I read a biography of him when I was like...
I did too. I know the exact biography you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I read it. I read the same book when I was like 12 years old.
I was just going to say, yes, I was around 11 or 12. And I remember learning at that age, holy shit, because I was the same way. You just think, oh, he passed Babe Ruth. And then I read how good he was and all the things he overcame and the whole history. So ever since then, I've always said, guys, he's so good and he's so underappreciated. And the numbers back it up. I mean, he's a, you could argue like the best guy of all. I mean, it's arguable. I know you'd say Trout, but my point is like the numbers of Hank Aaron.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, certainly.
The consistency.
Where is he on the all-time RBI list? Like,
he's the leader.
Right. I mean, what are we talking about here?
You want to hear some quick numbers I have sitting here?
Yeah.
He's the leader in RBIs, extra base hits, total bases. I mean, it's just
the other thing that's always, you know, mentioned, if you're a baseball stan, a good stat, because when a guy hits that many home runs, it's like, oh, he's a home run hitter. If you take away his all time home run leading numbers at the time, he still has 3,000 hits.
That's the craziest stat I saw that.
I think he's got 3,770 something or whatever like hits, and he had 755 home runs.
If you take away his home runs, he still has 3,000 hits. That's an insane thing to say. He hit 20 or more home runs for 20 seasons, dude.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about him is like the consistency. I think it was
30 or more 15 times. The
never
only
never hit 50, right?
Never hit 50.
Yeah.
So these are the quick numbers on the home runs. He hit 40 or more 8 times, 30 or more 15 times, and 20 or more 20 times. I love this stat here. His worst performance at the plate in any season came in 1955.
1995 would have been made sense. 74-year-old Hank Aaron struggling with the Greg Maddux's changeup.
So he had a 141 OPS plus. This is what they're talking to. And it says, for reference, a 141 OPS plus is the best in David Ortiz's career. And right. That was the worst ever for Hank Aaron's career. Made the All-Star game 25 times.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. One of the great, like, all-time great, like, you could argue, again, you could argue for sure the best ever. You could make that argument.
You really could.
You want to argue RBI. Forget the home runs. Argue RBI. Argue total bases. Argue, like, you know, get away from, like, the raw numbers and get into, like, a little bit more of, like, the, you know, production, total bases, driving in runs, OPS. Like, come on.
Yeah.
We don't want to say great defensive player. I didn't get to watch him, so I don't want to, like, give him clap. But, like, always talked about as a good defensive outfielder.
Yeah. I mean, the consistency, the longevity.
He put out some and you know, like, I know we're a long way from that, but like getting death threats for like passing Ruth or like the chase for Ruth. Like, there's so much. I got to imagine a lot of the people when those dipshits ruined his, you know, trot by running on the field. I bet a lot of people in the moment thought like
they were trying to kill him,
murder him.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet there was fear in him. There had to be.
Yeah.
When the Stoner Bros ran onto the field. By the way, where was the security? Like, where is the security there?
Yeah. Yeah. The security in, you know, was that in Atlanta? Or was he on the road there? I think he was on the road.
The game tying one was in Cincinnati. I know that.
Okay. Might have been in Atlanta. I want to say like the security in Atlanta protecting
Capitol Hill.
They're black. They're like, that's Hank Aaron right there.
Yeah.
We just want to take a picture with them.
And think about that.
Yeah, of course you do.
Think about that. You're getting death threats and you're still going out there and playing at such a high level.
Yeah.
The pressure that he must have had and that he overcame. I mean, that's so funny. We read the same biography though.
Yeah.
I remember reading it.
I remember the picture on the cover. I remember everything.
Yeah. I went through a phase where I was big into biographies of sports and particularly baseball players. Cause then I did Reggie Jackson's. And I remember, I had to do a speech on Reggie Jackson. I chose the Oakland. You had to dress up too. And I remember I wanted an Oakland jersey.
Oh, please tell me that there's not pictures out there of you dressed as Reggie Jackson with the chops and an afro.
Canceled. Funny, you say canceled and it fucking goes bad. That's the way it works.
Yeah, he's back.
There we are. The minute you said canceled, it cut out.
No, I was just saying it froze on a awkward picture of your face where it's very clear that you're trying to justify wearing an afro under a flapless batting helmet as a 10-year-old,
which I didn't do. But what I was going to say is I wanted an A's jersey, and you know, my parents, they just weren't. My mom was like, no, we're not buying you. They weren't those type of people to just spend like that. We're not buying you an A jersey because you have to do one presentation in front of your class on Reggie Jackson's biography. So, you know, my parents did. They took a white shirt and just put like they made like a plain undershirt. And that was they drew like A's. and I had carried a bat and had baseball hands. Like, that was my thing. Although looking back on it, yeah, my friend was did his on God, why am I Jesus Christ. Who broke the color barrier? I'm losing my mind.
Jackie Robinson.
My buddy did Jackie Robinson. It's funny, like, who knows? Maybe you're right, Prano. Is there all these white kids who were looking up to all these black athletes that were in blackface?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I love it. Just imagine the Ricky Henderson kid in there. He's like, I'm here to talk about a stolen base king. Ricky's a stolen base king. I'm the stolen base king. And when I say I mean Ricky. I'm allowed to speak in the third person because I'm Ricky Henderson. I'm allowed to wear blackface. Ricky can wear blackface all he wants. You can't cancel Ricky.
That, by the way, that's so funny. That's the ultimate cancelization. We have you from the third grade when you were actually supporting, but hey, now cancel.
Yeah.
Well, in other quick all-time news, did you have anything else to say about Hank Aaron?
No, just Hammer and Hank. One of the GOATs.
Steph Curry now number two.
All time on the
3-point list. He passed Reggie Miller.
The GOAT 3-point shooter.
And Ray Allen.
The GOAT episode.
Yeah, Ray Allen. There you go. Ray Allen is in sights. I mean, it's going to be a couple more years. But
he passed, right? Reggie was 39 when he retired. Steph is 32. So he's 7 years ahead of Reggie Miller's 3-point pace.
That's insane.
Ray Allen was definitely, 39, 40. Ray Allen's just a year or two older than me and just retired a couple years ago. So he was pushing 40. And Steph will pass him, in a couple seasons?
Yeah. You ever look at these guys and say, I haven't accomplished anything in my life? Can you say something like that?
Yeah, all the time.
Like, I think about that. Like, you're like, yeah.
Kobe is only like a year older than me.
You look at what these guys, like I look at these athletes sometimes and I'm like, okay, you're my age. You've accomplished so much in your life. I have accomplished nothing.
I used to compare myself to Kobe because Kobe was a year older than me. And you're like, look at this guy. He's in the NBA at this career. He's winning championships. And then the day Kobe called it quits, I was just achieving my greatness of taking a shot every time Kobe run. And then I was just like, this is the bell curve.
Yeah.
This is where it peaked out and you started dropping and I stayed up here.
Oh, so you exceeded Kobe.
I'm just saying it was always that sensation that you are talking about. And then I was like, oh, the day I took 40 whiskey shots and Kobe called it quits and became like a basketball dad.
Yeah.
There was a long time where Kobe was outpacing me, but it's, you know, it's the tortoise and the hare.
Like, for me,
slow and steady wins the race.
It was only
drinking whiskey shots and then quickly wins the race.
Never forget that night. Never forget. For me, it was only 1 year.
It was my will to win, Andy.
I've never used that term. I've never used that. It's almost
it's my veteran leadership as a 20-year whiskey drinker.
But you know that's true, Joe. God damn it. Leadership is real. You know that.
Yeah. Of course.
I was in high school at the same time it was only a year, but with LeBron. Think about that. That's crazy to me to think I saw LeBron play because I wasn't even on the team, right? We were playing after them. And it's just so crazy to think, like, I saw LeBron play and we were both in high school together. And now I'm in my parents' basement.
Yeah.
And
like with shaky internet. LeBron James has Space Jam 2 coming out. He's pacing to win a MVP at 37.
He's not on that list, is he?
Of people who, I mean, yeah.
Because they're you know, they're giving him some time off this year.
It's one of those things where it's one of those things where like the hot you know, new person again. Now it's Jokic. Oh, he's leading the league in assists or whatever. But I did see a breakdown yesterday in terms of, like, you know, the advanced analytics of LeBron and what he's doing with the Lakers team. And I think he's averaging, you know, 27, 8, and 8 and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, from an analytics standpoint, he's once again the most valuable player in basketball.
Yeah. I had lately I've been putting on games on when I go on the treadmill, I just grab the iPad and I watched the first half of that Bulls Lakers on the treadmill Saturday. And you end up going to a different game. Cause you're like, that game was, they were up like 30. It was just a blowout.
There's this cool thing. And I found it the other day. I meant to mention this to our listeners. And I don't know if it's because the game was on TNT. So the Lakers Bucks game was on TNT.
Yeah.
But it was still blacked out here because I'm in LA, which is like, what the fuck, guys? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I understand blacking out, like, but you're blacking out national TV games to the local audience. It's so dumb. So it's blacked out. So I go to, I'm like trying to throw a Hail Mary here. I go to.
So NBA Pass, you couldn't watch that.
So I go to NBA League Pass to watch it. Now, Lakers games are blacked out for me on League Pass because I should be watching it on Spectrum, like the one fucking place where they're allowed to show Lakers games or whatever. So I go to League Pass and I'm hoping, well, maybe because it's a national game, we're doing a thing. I click on it and League Pass has various angles of the game, but none of them the official angle of the game and none of them with announcers. And I find the greatest thing of all time. And again, I don't know if this is a very particular situation where a game is on national TV, but then also. So use this hack if you ever need this. If a game is on TNT or maybe ESPN, I don't know. Go to League Pass and you can watch all these different angles. One, I found one feed that was literally a camera on LeBron James the whole time. Like an up-close LeBron James cam. And I watched the entire game just to LeBron James. And it was amazing.
I feel like you were masturbating while watching this.
I literally almost tweeted that.
Yeah.
It was amazing to see the way he moves when, like, without the ball, or like the way he conserves energy, the passes, the way he was directing people. It was it's like when you go and you get to sit courtside and you go, I'm just going to watch this one dude for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I watched it for an hour and it was the greatest thing ever.
That is great. That's cool.
So shout out to you for thusting us League Pass.
Yeah, no worries, man. Well, look, we've gone about an hour and 40 minutes and we're not going to have time for calls today because I have a meeting, but it's a good episode. If you do want to leave a call, we'll get to some calls on Thursday, 310-359-8365. I see there's already been a tweet put out about Goldberg coming on. We've extended the invite. Hopefully Matty G can make a cameo on Thursday. Could be fun.
Yeah. I think we should let him. I think we should think about having him come on next week. We're a little closer to the Super Bowl. Have him. Like, I feel like he can talk between now and next week. He can talk himself into the will to win.
We'll see what his schedule is. I'm sure he's
got. We'll see what his schedule is. Like, I don't know. Internet's not so good. I might have to do this from the library.
I would love if he was doing it from a library.
Yeah, but Matty is always welcome on the show, and you know, I look forward to having him
not look at the camera. Not look at the camera.
He's gonna be like, "What do you mean? Why would I bet on Tom Brady?"
Yeah, no, it's always good. I love having Matty on the show. It's always good. You know, he's an OG dirtball, OG guest on the show. One of the best, of course. All right, guys, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Dirty Sports. Drop an iTunes review. And if you drop an iTunes review, leave your Twitter or Instagram handle and I will get you koozies in the mail. Joe, where can they follow you?
Well, first of all, I want to do a couple of quick plugs. One, I did a Friends podcast. Our boy Lyle Behrens, our dude who's up in the Bay Area. He always has us on his shows. If you're ever one of the Bay Area dirtballs who's attended one of our Andy and I's shows in Oakland or in the Bay, Lyle always puts on a great show there. He started a new podcast, Let's Unpack That. So I just did like a couple hours on Lyle's podcast. So find that. Let's Unpack That. Also, go check out Minimal Golf and get yourself some Miller Lights and put them in the cooler pocket of the Minimal Golf bag so that our sponsorship thing can all come together in one great, beautiful thing. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok and Venmo at Joe Prano. Follow me on Twitter at Fix Your Life. And if you're a Tom Brady is the GOAT stan, leave me alone. I said it. Tom Brady's the GOAT. No, never has there been a greater will to win.
With taking digs. Classic Joe Prano style. All right, Dirtballs. This has been the GOAT episode. That's what I'm going to title it. You guys have a great week. We'll be back in a few days. And as always, stay dirty.